Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Whether it happens to be auto, home, life, business insurance, they have experts there that will take care of each for you. You have questions, they'll get you the answers, the right answers that you need. If there's a claim, they jump right in as if it happened to them. They're your partner. The customer comes first. And they'll always get you the best price on insurance. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. In a few moments, Matt Leon from Philadelphia on the Eagles Redskins. But first, our play-by-play call of the day. Jalen Hurts off the bench and role reversal and getting it done.
Just inside the 16, quarterback draw, Jalen Hurts, touchdown!
It was a called quarterback draw, similar to the play when he scored against Clemson when he left the field.
You know what? Let's give credit where credit is due. We're in an era where the second something goes wrong for somebody, they move on to something else. Kelly Bryant at Clemson is a good example of that. And I'm not here to be critical of Kelly Bryant. He's got to do what's best for him in the end. But sometimes that's the easiest solution. Doesn't always mean it's the best solution. Now, moving may be the best, but it's not always the best solution. Jalen Hurts, the world kept saying, okay, he's lost the job to Tua Tagovailoa. He's leaving. Didn't leave. Kept playing. Well, he'll play four games, and it's a theory I brought up earlier in the season. Play four games, and then he'll leave and still have a year of eligibility left. No, stayed. And when they needed him, he was really good. Credit where credit is due, across the board and everything. One quick note. The Phillies are getting Gene Segura from the Mariners. They're going to give up J.P. Crawford and Santana. Okay. This is not just a good trade. This is a great trade for the Phillies. And this is what you get. Okay, let's talk about what you lose. You lose a competent first baseman that's decent around the bag and is good at the plate. You lose a shortstop who can't hit to save his soul. Is a good fielder. In return, you're getting a really good fielder who is a really good offensive player who does not strike out. And a players with 600 plate appearances or more, Segura is third in fewest strikeouts. He gets the bat on the ball. The next part is a domino. You now can take Rhys Hoskins and move him from the outfield to his natural position, which is first base. Hoskins was at the bottom last year defensively in the outfield with runs allowed. Now at first base, his natural spot, he'll play well there. Segura will play well at shortstop, and you'll also have a better defensive player in the outfield that's a more natural outfielder than Hoskins. So there's a domino effect there. So that's the Segura trade. Really, really like it, the one the Phillies are making with the Mariners. Really like it. Okay. Let's bring in Matt Leon. It's going to be the Eagles and Redskins coming up tonight. And Matt, as always, we welcome you. Great to have you with us.
Good to be with you.
All right, let's get to this one. I talked about changing dynamics. Give me an idea for the Eagles what they have to be thinking about now that Dallas is in that 7-5 spot.
I think they think the next two weeks very well could be the season. If they beat Washington tonight and then go down to beat Dallas next Sunday, then everybody's tied. And then it's a sprint to the finish. The Eagles have a very difficult schedule with games against the Texans and the Rams included in their final home stretch. But at least you're on even footing there. Whereas specifically if they lose tonight, you know, I don't see many scenarios playing out where they would still be a player in the division, let alone in the NFC. Even though the NFC came back to them yesterday, everybody pretty much that you would want to lose if you're looking at the wild card situation, if you're the Eagles, lost yesterday.
Yes.
So if they can win today or win tonight, I think things look a little brighter for them on the possibility of a postseason. But the next 2 weeks are huge.
All right, Alex Smith, we know how he plays. We know his game. It's Colt McCoy a quarterback tonight. What does that change for Philadelphia?
I think it increases the odds exponentially because Colt McCoy makes mistakes, Alex Smith doesn't. You saw that on Thanksgiving night. Colt McCoy was just throwing the ball all over the place down in Texas against the Cowboys. And frankly, you know, if you're the defending Super Bowl champs and you've got a must-win game at home, you have to beat Colt McCoy. No ifs, ands, or buts. You have to find a way to get it done. And I think they will. I think the Eagles have struggled getting turnovers. I think that could change tonight. I think they're going to win this game. I think it's going to be easier than most people think. And I think it'll be the defense leading the way. I think Colt McCoy is just a guy. He's a nice system quarterback. Mm-hmm. But in a big game, I think the Eagles should be able to take advantage, especially at home.
Completely agree with that. I mean, he is the definition of a backup quarterback. You can hang with him for a game or two, but long term, he is absolutely no answer.
Yeah, and I really think this could be a game that the Eagles defense, I'm sure, has had a lot of frustration not making a lot of big plays this year, and I think they could take some of that frustration out tonight.
You mentioned the Eagles did not have a lot of takeaways this year. Why is that? Have they been getting enough pressure to force takeaways? Are they just late to the ball? Why so few takeaways?
I think the pass rush has been inconsistent, so I think that's one thing. Injuries are another. I mean, just you look at the people they've lost in the secondary, Rodney McLeod, Jalen Mills, Ronald Darby. Now you're down to, you know, you have Malcolm Jenkins, so you've got your best defensive back. But if you're going to put everybody on a depth chart, they probably have at this point like 1, 5, 7, and 9 that will be starting tonight as far as if you were to rank all their defensive backs. So I think that's got a lot to do with it. A lot of times, I don't want to say turnovers are dumb luck, but, you know, a ball bounces right back up to a guy. Whereas last year, on their way to a Super Bowl championship, every ball that bounced out bounced right to them. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. You have to have things go your way to win a title. And this year, I think some of that's evening out. But I think they're not getting the consistent pressure they got last year. And I just think it's been such a revolving door in the secondary that has led a lot to be desired as far as the defense being able to make plays.
How do you view Philadelphia's offensive matchup against the Redskins' defense?
I think they should be able to do some things. I think they ran the ball well last time out in the second half against the Giants. You kind of maybe feel like a light went on a little bit, and Josh Adams really emerged as the number one guy. I would expect him to get a heavy workload tonight. Darren Sproles could be mixed in. I don't know at this point what you can expect from him. You know, a guy of his age who hasn't played since week one and is still only questionable heading into tonight, but maybe he can make a play or two. I would be surprised if the Eagles didn't stretch the field. I think this could be the game tonight with Golden Tate that the Eagles fans have been waiting for. I think the Eagles are going to have success in the passing game. I expect him, Jeffrey, to have a nice game here with Carson Wentz leading the way.
Matt, that was going to be my next question. It was about Golden Tate. I know it always takes a while to get yourself integrated into a system and a quarterback to understand what you do and what you do well and what you don't do well. Are you surprised it's taking a little longer with him? based on what the Eagles need?
Yeah, I am, and I'm also surprised that last week leading into the Giants game, offensive coordinator Mike Groh kind of admitted that it was kind of challenging to incorporate Tate. I thought that was a giant red flag to me because I would think that finding a way to get the ball to a good player would be relatively easy. Everything they've done with Tate for the most part has looked kind of forced. It's nothing Tate has or hasn't done. I think he's, for the most part, caught the balls that have been targeted to him. He just hasn't kind of been a focal point. He's been kind of a guy on a tertiary weapon, if you will. They haven't had a game where they've really tried to funnel the ball to him. I think you would think they've had enough time with him in practice and stuff like that, and I think this is a matchup against Washington that he could have a big game.
Yeah, and that's what I'm looking for. Why has Adams emerged? Because, I mean, here's a guy who's a free agent. Now, once you get your shot and you can prove you can play, then go. Now, he's going to have to really prove to get a second contract. But why has he been important to what the Eagles have done? What has he added?
He's shown up and he's taken advantage of the situation. You look at, they lose Ajayi, and everybody thought, well, they'll be fine. They've got Corey Clement. They've got Wendell Smallwood. They've got depth in the backfield. Corey Clement, until last week when he had a couple of big plays, he has not been the Corey Clement of last year. It's been one of the great mysteries. It was encouraging against the Giants as he had that burst that we had seen last year as an undrafted rookie. So he really hadn't grabbed the opportunity. Wendell Smallwood is another guy. You know, he's a nice player, but I think he's kind of just a guy. I think every roster has two or three Wendell Smallwoods in it in training camp. And I think Josh Adams has gotten the opportunity. He runs hard. He hits the hole quickly, and he's shown a little bit of burst. I think the number one reason he's gotten the opportunity here is because he is the only guy that really kind of stepped up and grabbed it when the opportunity presented itself. And, you know, you're kind of at this point, you're not really worried about the future and is he the go-to guy to sign to a contract. You're worried about this week. You're just living week to week.
Right,
right now, Adams is the guy getting it done right now, and you ride that for as long as it takes, and then you get to a certain point where then you start asking the questions big picture.
What kind of sync is Adams in with the offensive line?
Pretty good. The second half last week against the Giants was very encouraging. Now, take it with a grain of salt. It's the Giants. They have, even though they've won 3 of 4 and they only lost to the Eagles, they have struggled for the most part this year. But the Eagles really dominated that game in the second half up front, and it was because Adams and the offensive line really dictated the pace of the game, kept the ball away from the Giants. So they're in a nice rhythm. And the one thing to keep an eye on, Adams was a late add to the injury report. I think it was on Saturday he showed up with a hip issue. He's questionable at this point. It seems like he's going to play, but you always have that caveat. You don't like when guys get added late in the week to an injury report. And if he can't go, I don't know what they're going to do. Then it's probably going to be, Corey Clement for 7 carries. You'll see more of Sproles than you probably thought if he played.
Yep.
Or you'll just see 55 pass attempts.
Yeah, exactly. What have you thought about the comeback of Adrian Peterson?
It's very interesting because very rarely do running backs have a second act in the NFL.
Right.
Usually, once guys, a friend of mine had a great point that every professional running back has a certain amount of carries in their body, and you don't know what that number is, but you sure well know when they've hit that point. And it looked like Peterson had hit that point. You know, he was, at the end of Minnesota, and then that brief stint where he was the miscast in New Orleans, and I think most people expected that was going to be it. But where else was he? Arizona last year. And he's kind of, found a bit of a renaissance. The one thing with Peterson, he had a couple years there where he had the suspension for the off-the-field issues and a couple season-ending injuries that maybe he was able to save enough tread on the tires by missing those years to kind of extend things a little bit. So I think it's been interesting. He's added something, definitely. He's not a long-term answer, obviously, for Washington, but they're kind of in the same boat. You're kind of riding a hot hand week to week. He struggled against Dallas. See if he can struggle again tonight against the Eagles.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. Eagles and Redskins tonight. Merrill and Mike along with Howard on Eagle 107 this evening. And Westwood One's broadcast here following Santa Claus tonight. Yes, the magic radio is working once again. I want to say it was Chad Hirschberger. and his two children are scheduled to be on, I think, Wednesday this week, I think. No, is it Wednesday?
That was
Wednesday,
later
Thursday.
In the month. It may not be maybe it's later this in the week. Month. Later in the month, yeah.
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 Yeah, they're going to be on. And we talk about the Magic Radio. The way he describes the experience for them is, quote, magical, which is really cool.
Well, I think really what's great, just for the length of the show that's been on, it's just wonderful to, throughout the year, where we're out and about doing live broadcast, and we'll talk to people, yeah, when I was yay high, I was on the show. Or, you know, their kids or their nieces and nephews were on the show several decades ago, and now that they may not be living in the area anymore, they may be out of state, now that we stream, you know, or you can listen on the app, either, you know, through Eagle or with WKOK. You know, it's like reliving your childhood all over again.
Yeah, no, exactly. Very important. We were trying to determine last week how long it has been on, and I said it was 81 years, and to the credit of everybody in the staff, nobody knew. So... I thought this was the 81st year, and last year was the 80th.
I know for a while we were talking about that it's been on since 1933, but I believe it did not come on in 33. Roger and I were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, and we're still... He had it pinned down. He knew the name of the gentleman that started the show here on WKOK. He told me the name, but the year was kind of fuzzy. It may not have been 33. It may have been a little later in the decade.
It was Kring, began with a K.
Oh, okay.
Chris K. Kring. What the heck was that guy's name?
Yeah.
You know, it's, in Sweden, they have these round coffee cake deals. It's called a Kring. What the heck are those things called? It's Chris Single Wingle. I thought it began with a K.
Jingle Mingle.
Jingle Mingle, yeah, yeah. You know, that might be it. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by the great people at Purdy Insurance.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street and Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. Now, how do you end up serving an area for decades? You have to be really good at it. You have to be really good at it. In other words, you have to treat your customers as if they're the most important individuals on the face of the earth. Of course, you know, along with your employees, obviously. But if you happen to be a customer of Purdy Insurance, you're going to test the fact they're going to find you the best insurance, so you're covered, the best price, so you save money, and if you have any questions, they'll make sure you get the right answer as quickly as possible, and they're always looking for updates to your insurance to make sure that you're up to date, covered, not behind. And if something were to ever happen to you, that's why you have insurance. You want an insurance agent that goes to work with you with the passion you would have if you were sitting in that seat taking care of your own claim. That's Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Again, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Looking forward to seeing everybody on Wednesday night. At least, you know, we've got to come up with a plan, Sean, where it lessens the blow of, you know. Don't you think one of the keys at something like this is we want to keep all the people there?
Yes.
Yeah.
You will love where this party is going to be located. We're going to be in downtown Selwyn's Grove. First time we're going to have our party there. We're going to be at Isabella's Ristorante.
I heard.
And yeah, it's a former bank building, right in the middle of downtown Selwyn's Grove. And you'll love how they have it laid out inside. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Well, this is, I mean, as soon as I heard about it, I thought, oh man, I can't wait to go to this. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Big room, huge room, lovely.
Oh, wait a minute, say that last part again.
Big room, huge room, lovely.
So is it possible to be, is the room big enough where two ships could just pass in the night?
I think so.
You know, I'm starting to warm up to this.
Yeah. I saw an inside photo aiming down toward the floor and it's like, wow, that's a nice big room.
Oh. Well, I sure wouldn't want to be in some intimate place where you're forced to talk to certain people.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Why? It's easy. They're the best in the business. Auto, home, life, business. They'll find you exactly the insurance you need. They'll update it when need be. They're always looking for all the trends. They'll also get you the best price possible. And if you have a question, they'll get you the right answer as quickly as possible. And if you have a claim, they will jump in as if it happened to them. It's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Humbles Wharf. All right, several items with the NFL. Number one, the Thursday night game between the Saints and the Cowboys, the highest rated Thursday night game ever. Sunday night football ratings are up, yet ad revenue for the year in the NFL is down. Okay. College football ratings, everything is up. Michigan, Ohio State, highest rated Fox regular season game ever. Georgia, Alabama, 26% ahead of where it was for the same game a year ago when Auburn played Georgia. I mean, all the trends in college football are up, up, up. Aaron Rodgers will be looking for a new head coach, but there are reports that he had zero, despite what people are assuming, had zero to do with Mike McCarthy being let go. They say it was really came down to two people making the decision. And if you recall, I mean, the Packers have a Mark Murphy as their CEO, and he and Brian Gutekunst are probably the two people that made the decision and had nothing to do with it. If I'm sitting there in Green Bay and I'm looking at my situation, you know who the first guy is I would like to go and talk to? Josh McDaniel at McDaniels with the Patriots. I've got a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, and I've got a situation in Green Bay, okay, where it's not the I know it's Indianapolis at the time he interviewed with an injured Andrew Luck, but there's a big difference between Green Bay and Indianapolis, with all due respect, and a big difference with a healthy Aaron Rodgers versus Andrew Luck. I think you could entice Josh McDaniels to leave and go to Green Bay. He'd be the first guy I'd talk to. At some point, they're going to have to draft another quarterback there. Because, I mean, Now, I'm not talking about now, but I mean at some point. Sometime in the next 3 years, they're going to have to. I mean, Rodgers is, what, 37 now? Kareem Hunt. We talked about this briefly on Friday because it was just fresh when we were doing the show. And I said, well, the NFL already knows about this and they, you know, and so forth. I said, but the big difference, and I made this point on Friday, they just had aired the 30 for 30 on Bob Knight. Well, on the with Neil Reed, you'd heard about it, but I was like, all right, I heard about it, but... And then the video was released. And when the video was released, that's when Bob Knight got into deep trouble. And I pointed this out on the show on Friday. I said, now there's a video. What does that video show? And on that video, is it enough to change the course of things? I said, Kansas City supposedly knew about this when it happened, and they've been playing him anyway. Well, you notice it didn't take long for Kansas City to release him. Which then brings me to the Redskins' puzzling move with Reuben Foster. It's puzzling. I don't understand why you consider doing this. Now, before, I guess, my understanding is, you can tell me if I'm wrong about this, that the original complainant against Reuben Foster was somebody who constantly claimed such things. And more often than not, may not have been true. So obviously that worked in Foster's favor. But then a second incident happened with a second woman, and now you're like, oh, okay, hold on. And yet the Redskins still signed him.
It's just going to be interesting tonight, listening to ESPN and the broadcast, how much time they're going to linger on the topic.
Again, now he's not playing tonight, right? He's not playing. He's out, right? I don't think he's off a list yet, is he?
He agreed to remain on that list, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
On the exempt list.
I want to get back to something that I think where broadcasts have gone way off the rails. That is a great, great topic for the pregame show. Go in depth in the pregame show, okay? Once the game starts, it's got to be about the game. Let your announcers do the game. And the pregame show, take 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it takes to talk about the topic. And then once the game starts, let the game take over. He's not playing. Now, if he's playing, it's a different topic. But he's not playing. So since he's not playing, the game announcer should not have to talk about it. Let the pregame, that's why you have a pregame show. Why bother having the pregame show if you can't air out important topics such as that one? Because
yeah,
TV...
I was just curious how deep they were going to do it tonight, just because of the fact of yesterday...
Oh, they will.
They will.
You know they will, because that's all they do now, because this has become a show, and I'm going to give you a good example. I think Sunday Night Football is outstanding. And I think Chris Collinsworth is not just good. I think Chris Collinsworth is great.
And if you haven't seen the new Football Life on NFL Network that debuted with Collinsworth on Friday night, terrific.
But last night, there was one play that really bothered me. And, of course, this is truck-related. This is not, okay? And this is one of those where they massively dropped the ball and I didn't get it. The Antonio Brown catch, which he reeled in, which was an awesome catch. But the second it happened, I thought, I don't think he's in bounds. And what did they show? The blocking scheme. And then the next replay was again of the work up front. I'm sitting there at home going, I'm telling you, I don't think he caught the ball. I'm sitting there waiting. They're showing replays of the protection. Who cares? You've got to show me what's relevant at the moment. Oh, and it turned out he is out of bounds, and it's no play. It doesn't matter how they blocked. It's no play. It's third down. What were they showing blocking for? Show me what is relevant. Not, you got to get away from one of the keys of the game is how well they blocked the Chargers. It doesn't matter. He's out of bounds. That's the most important part of the play. Truck dropped the ball on that, and they forced Chris Collinsworth to do something that was unnecessary. And it happened in the Giants-Bears game, too. I'm watching them like, what are we doing here? Will you just show me the game? Don't care about the story. I could care less about the story of the guy. Okay? I want to know if he caught the ball and got a first down.
You know, and I got to thinking about the Reuben Foster thing and what they and how much they would focus on it tonight. I just remembered yesterday, Countdown was hyped about, you know, getting that first official interview from Kareem Hunt after the whole story went down.
Yeah, now, which Lisa did.
Yes. Yeah, Lisa Salters did, yes, Penn State grad. So I was just thinking they probably would have spent a lot more time on the Foster story yesterday hadn't it been for the Hunt interview with the exclusive they had.
Yeah, well.
So I wonder if they'll parlay into how much they'll dive into the Foster topic tonight.
Again, if they took the entire pregame show and talked about it, I wouldn't care. But once the game starts, like, do the game.
Yeah, tonight pregame starts at 6. They can talk about as much as they want.
I mean, you've already got two hours and 15 minutes of programming dedicated to setting everything up. Do it then. Give compelling opinions. Give some reasons why. Right? But once the game starts, okay, now it becomes the game, and it's about the people playing the game, not who's not playing the game.
One point in the telecast, they won't spend a lot of time on it tonight's halftime. Yeah, they got to run that. That pre-recorded music video halftime show that that ESPN's been doing the last couple of months, and a lot of people have been, you know, granted, I mean, they've got a sponsor for it and they've got a reason for it, but no. Yeah, but they've been running these like music videos and they've doing like product placement inside these music videos of the sponsor of the commercial-free halftime show.
Well, to their credit. I don't watch any of them. Okay, here we go. Now, I was talking earlier about the college football playoff. And do I think they got it right? Yes. But if I'm picking the four best teams, Georgia's one of the four best teams, but they have two losses. So putting them in there. So what they did was add Las Vegas. What point spreads they would put on. You'll find this interesting. Georgia would be a 3.5-point favorite over Ohio State. Georgia would be a 4-point favorite over Oklahoma. Georgia would be a 4.5-point favorite over Notre Dame. Again, what does the College Football Playoff Committee, what are they really good at? Doing easy. They're really good at doing easy. They're not very good at the hard decisions. Well, we think these are the four best teams. Okay, I just watched the Alabama. I didn't watch that. By the way, I didn't watch Alabama-Georgia. I didn't see a second of it. Because they were like, why aren't you watching games? Because I'm doing a game at the same time. Remember, our game was with Maryland was supposed to be at 1 o'clock on Saturday. But because Northwestern was playing football in the Big Ten championship game, and Northwestern had a game at Indiana, they flip-flopped Penn State, Maryland, and Indiana, Northwestern. So the Northwestern fans could go to the basketball game in Bloomington at 1 and have the ability to drive to Indianapolis to go to the football game as well. So I didn't see it. But I think it's actually easy to say Georgia's one of the four best teams. In fact, they probably are the number three seed in reality. And I'm the one that said Alabama would beat them by 10. I said they would beat them by double digits, and they would do it easily. I said that on Friday. I was wrong, obviously. I picked the game right. But in terms of my assessment, was wrong.
But it just makes you wonder, though, if Georgia would have been picked as the number four, how fast the cry would be from athletic directors from across the country to tear up the current deal. We're not going to wait till 2025. Let's start maybe, like, let's say 2020 or 2021 to move this thing from 4 to 8.
There's going to be an outcry about 4 to 8. There's going to be that. It's going to happen. Again, what did you end up with? Again, this is because there's no uniformity in this. There's no uniformity. They need to then start promoting at least a level of uniformity. Either everybody plays 8 conference games or you play 9. One or the other. I think they should tell everybody they need to play 10 Power 5 teams. Each conference needs to have a championship game. Oh, and by the way, you're not in a conference? Tough. You're out. Simple as that. Notre Dame gets too many. Again, Notre Dame got really, really lucky with its schedule this year. In 2016, if we're sitting there in 2016, and we're looking at the 2018 Notre Dame schedule like, oh my goodness, I've got Michigan, Florida State, Stanford, USC, Virginia Tech. Holy mackerel, look at that schedule. That's 2016. What a difference 2 years makes. The win over Michigan, great win. Stanford, eh. USC, eh. Virginia Tech, eh, eh. Double eh. Florida State, triple. Eh, eh, eh. Those 5 games, only one really good win. The other wins are, eh, so what? They're not great wins. They're wins, but they're not great wins. It's amazing how that worked out. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us. So the show, closing things down for today. Later in the week, Mark Wogenrich is going to be on. We'll talk with him. I think also we're going to probably get Rich Scarcella on. Looking forward to that. Penn State, Kentucky, Citrus Bowl. Kentucky's defense, very, very good. I'll give you an example. Their game with Missouri this year. Missouri did well in the first half. After that, Missouri had 8 consecutive 3-and-outs. But to give you a little more perspective, the stop rate this year for the Kentucky defense, 70%. You know what Penn State's is? 79%. It's even better. Penn State, excellent running game. Kentucky, excellent running game. Penn State, really improving defense. Kentucky, really improving defense. What's the difference between the two teams? In this game, it's Penn State's passing game led by Trace McSorley. They have a better passing game than Kentucky does. That'll be New Year's Day at 1. We'll be on beginning at 11:30 that day. Excuse me. Tonight, Eagles and Redskins. We'll have Westwood here. Their coverage this evening. We have Santa Claus tonight. And Eagle 107 is Merrill, Mike Quick, and Howard Eskin on Eagle 107. But Santa Claus is tonight, my friend, with the Magic Radio.
Cranking up week number 2, the lovely Miss Ann Blugis, giving the boys and girls the cue to count down to get that Magic Radio fired up to connect to the North Pole. So if you've been dealing with a rough Monday today, feeling kind of grinchy, check out Talk to Santa tonight.
Sound like a personal plea to somebody in the office.
Kinda, yeah. Wasn't meant to be, but you're right.
Well, say you've been a person that constantly feels like they're putting out fires.
Yes. That's our guy.
No? That's our guy.
That's our guy.
Maybe we could create a crisis Wednesday night at the station.
This will need didn't your attention until about 8 o'clock.
Didn't say it had to be real.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.